Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 623. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, it feels like it's one of those moments that changes everything. And by that, I am talking about the very candid two-hour interview with Bruce Jenner that came on Friday night, which I just watched before I sat down to record this podcast. And I have to say, it feels like one of those moments, like the moment that people who felt like they don't know someone of a certain community now know someone of a certain community. And, you know, Bruce Jenner, the epitome of athleticism, of American patriotism, of the Olympic spirit, of defying odds and strength and resilience and all American. I mean, just really, I mean, the Wheaties box, right? And of the generation of those of us who grew up in the 70s and 80s, all knew who Bruce Jenner was. And of course, nowadays, people know Bruce Jenner from the Kardashian reality television series, but he speaks to something at the heart and at the core of us as people growing up in America in the past 40 to 50 years. And, you know, his interview and his revelation, his revealing that he has felt his entire life as though he was in a body of the was a woman. That's actually what he said. He didn't think he was in the wrong body. He said, "I'm in my body. I am. You know, the same person, but that he has always identified as female from a very young age, and how that drove and motivated him during his teen years, his, you know, adolescence, teen, and into his young 20s when he was training and had his eye on this prize of you know, winning the Olympics and breaking world records and being the person who went toe-to-toe with Russia during the Cold War and on the Olympic stage, and you know, became like our valiant prince, right? And only to be hiding this secret and this pain that he felt he was not being authentic or true to himself. So it's really, if you've not had an opportunity to see it, I strongly encourage you to see it. I'm sure if anybody in the mainstream media and in LGBT news and entertainment, of course, is talking about it. And I don't think it was a shocker, right? Because there has been so much that's come out, and we've watched the past year or two, Bruce Jenner start to change, start to transition, start to move toward this new authentic self, which Bruce referred to last night as her. And we, in the interview, you get to hear from Bruce's children and just, you know, how big a family he has had an influence on. And first of all, his children are beautiful, biological children I'm speaking of, prior to being a Kardashian clan member. But man, just beautiful, beautiful children. And you know, very poignant interview with his son, the first son that he told about his commitment to transitioning and living authentically now in his 60s and throughout the rest of his life as her, which is what Bruce kept referencing the whole night, like her, you know, who she was and her. And so it was interesting too, because it's kind of a farewell in that as we all have come to know who we all think Bruce Jenner is, that is now transitioning. And as we know Bruce Jenner, that is going away. And Bruce Jenner is now stepping into this authentic self. And I just feel like it's very poignant. I found it so very touching last night sitting here watching it alone and just feeling, there was a statistic that Diane Sawyer said where she said, you know, over 80% of Americans know someone who's gay, but only 8% know someone transgender. And I'm so grateful for the work that I've been able to do the past 15, 20 years that I have known so many trans people and been very close to transgender friends and colleagues. And I do think they are an extraordinary club. They are an extraordinary club of individuals, the trans community. And I felt like Bruce showed that last night in that interview. And I think that, you know, there may be some flack around how Diane Sawyer handled the interview just in a way of, you know, not taking it to a higher level of a conversation, perhaps. But I think that she is probably speaking for that almost 90% of Americans who do not know anyone transgender and have not had these conversations with someone. And so I just asked the LGBT community to kind of give her a little slack that she's trying to be, to help liaise this conversation between America and between the transgender community. And Bruce Jenner, by no means representing the entire trans community, but for sure representing his own story into her own story. So it's really beautiful. It felt powerful. It felt like the moment that Rock Hudson came on television or Magic Johnson came on television and declared that they had AIDS. And then everyone in America had an idea of someone, felt like they knew someone who had AIDS or was living with AIDS. And then it felt very similar to the time when we heard about the tragic, brutal killing and then subsequent death of Matthew Shepard, where people across America had to see something that appeared to be such a young, innocent, slight young man being brutally attacked and murdered because he was gay. And people felt like, oh, he looks like my son, or he looks like a boy down the street I know, or he looks like you know, someone that I see on a regular basis. And Matthew Shepard gave that face to the gay community. And once again, you know, Rock Hudson, Magic Johnson, Matthew Shepard, Bruce Jenner, these people don't define any of the communities of which they became associated with. But it is a moment in which I think we all come together and we all feel a familiarity. And once we feel familiarity and we know someone's story and we know them better, it is very hard to hate them, or it is very hard to be scared of something that we know and we can see and we can begin to understand. So I just applaud him so much. What a brave and valiant, courageous, determined man that he has been, and woman that he is moving into. And I hope all of you will get to see it. And I look forward to seeing how she will be a part of our LGBT community moving forward because I know that she will. On today's show, speaking of Matthew Shepard, a very dear friend of mine whom I've known the entire time I've lived in Chicago, Ms. Elaine Dame, who has become quite an extraordinary jazz voice, jazz singer, performer in Chicago. She is doing a wonderful thing, which is that she is having an amazing benefit this coming weekend. And the entire benefit is going to be called Music for Matt. It is a benefit to raise money for the Matthew Shepard Foundation at SIP or Southport in Irving, which is an awesome room, an awesome bar, club, restaurant. And there's going to be many, many bands. There's going to be so many singers and performers. It's all happening on Sunday night, this coming Sunday, May 3rd. And Elaine Dame will be hosting. And I've got her on here just to talk about why she's doing this. Elaine is an ally of the LGBT community. I know I used to sing some with Elaine, and the lesbians all fell in love with her. And I was like, what am I, chopped liver? But yeah, she's hot. She's talented. She blows a mean flute, which the gay boys like. And you know, it's a great cause. So great time to hear some good music starting out. And we are dipping our toe into May, the lusty month of May, everyone. And so we've got a big show with Elaine Dame and her music throughout the show as we explore her concert, Music for Matt. And so let's tell you what's going on in the LGBT news elsewhere and also in the theater and arts scene here in Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Florida's Republican-controlled legislature has ended the state's 38-year-old ban on gay adoption. The Florida Senate voted 27-11 for an adoption bill that repeals the law first passed in 1977. It now heads to Governor Rick Scott.
Ruling in favor of two same-sex couples seeking marriage licenses in Kentucky, a Franklin Circuit Court judge found the Kentucky law banning same-sex marriage violates rights the Constitution guarantees. However, Judge Thomas Wingate stayed the effect of his order pending the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on the same issues, which will apply to all states. The High Court is scheduled to hear arguments on same-sex marriage later this month and issue a ruling in June.
When asked if he would attend a same-sex wedding, Ohio Governor John Kasich, a Republican who's opposed to gay and lesbian nuptials, said his friend just invited him to one, and he and his wife are planning to go. Team Kasich is focusing its early efforts on New Hampshire and South Carolina to determine whether the little-known governor could become a viable alternative to the likes of former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, and Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Speier of the 14th of California introduced the Stop Harming Our Kids resolution of 2015, calling on states to pass laws protecting LGBT youth from conversion therapy. Her move came 1 week after the White House, the U.S. Surgeon General, and other national leaders joined the call to support LGBT youth by ending these practices for good.
After leading the business community's outspoken opposition to Indiana's recently passed Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the CEO of consumer review website Angie's List is resigning and turning to politics to help repair Indiana's reputation in the wake of the controversial law. Former CEO Bill Osterly, who called the so-called fix signed by Governor Mike Pence in the wake of national outcry insufficient, said the state's public image took a shellacking and was under significant duress and went through a heartbreaking situation. Osterly is standing by his decision to cancel a planned expansion of his company's Indianapolis headquarters unless or until Indiana law protects LGBT Hoosiers.
In an open letter, more than 100 prominent Roman Catholic donors and church members called on San Francisco's anti-gay Archbishop Salvatore Corleone to be replaced. The letter to Pope Francis accuses Corleone of having a single-issue agenda against gay marriage and setting a pastoral tone that is closer to persecution than evangelization. Most recently, Corleone instituted morality clauses for Catholic school teachers and staff that threaten teachers with firing if they give any statements contradicting church doctrine. That includes having a position that differs from homosexuality being gravely evil.
Arizona Governor Doug Ducey said he vetoed a bill that would have freed county attorneys from a legal mandate to help with adoptions because he wants to see more adoptions, regardless of who the parents are. The law was seen by some as a way for county attorneys to avoid helping gay couples with adoptions. asked if it matters if the parents are gay or straight, Ducey said what's most important is that children in foster care get real families.
Apple CEO Tim Cook, actress Laverne Cox, and TV film producer Lee Daniels of Empire are on the Time 100 list this year. The Time 100 are the people the publication deems the most influential in the world. Also, Out Magazine has unveiled its 9th annual power list. Tim Cook tops that list with Ellen DeGeneres, Rachel Maddow, Tammy Baldwin, and Anderson Cooper completing the top five.
A petition to keep Scut Catholic, a Nebraska high school teacher, Matthew Elledge, has garnered more than 30,000 signatures. Elledge's contract will not be renewed because he recently announced his engagement to another man. Deacon Tim McNeil with the Archdiocese of Omaha said Elledge's contract was not renewed because he was in breach of the Code of Conduct and Morality Clause.
Instagram is cracking down on nudity. The social media app specified what constitutes acceptable nudity. This includes photos, videos, and some digitally created content that shows sexual intercourse, genitals, close-ups of fully nude buttocks. It also includes some photos of female nipples, but photos of post-mastectomy scarring and women actively breastfeeding are allowed. Nudity in photos of paintings and sculptures is okay, too.
In world news, South African runner Caster Semenya is returning to the track after a series of disappointing seasons following her controversial world debut. In 2009, Semenya won gold in the women's 800 meters at the World Championships amid accusations that she had an unfair advantage because she had elevated testosterone levels. Later, she was subject to gender verification investigation tests. She hopes to qualify for the World Championships in Beijing this August.
A notebook belonging to the late British gay codebreaker and computer genius Alan Turing has sold at auction for more than $1 million. The notebook, which included handwritten notes about computer science and maths, sold in New York in around 3 minutes. Turing, often hailed as the grandfather of modern computing, was convicted of gross indecency in 1952 after having sex with a man. He was later subjected to chemical castration and ultimately committed suicide at the age of 41.
A Russian man killed two people in a drunken brawl after one of his victims said he hugged like a gay man. Police in Novokuznetsk arrested the 26-year-old man after he killed two and wounded three with a knife. After a woman reportedly compared the young man and his friend to a gay couple, the man went into a rage, stabbing her in the chest. After that, he stabbed another man and woman.
A Brazilian transgender woman was stripped, had her head shaved, and face disfigured in a brutal police beating. Veronica Bolino was arrested for assault in her apartment in Sao Paulo and put in a male prison. The model then got into a fight with a police officer during a cell transfer and bit off half his ear. Images circulating on Brazilian social media show her with cuffs on her hands, feet, head shaved, breast exposed, face disfigured from the battering she received from several officers.
In entertainment news, Madonna was barred from going backstage at the hit Broadway show Hamilton. The singer disturbed the hip-hop musical by constantly texting throughout the second half. Both the audience and cast grew increasingly annoyed by Madonna, who was then taken to task by the show's author, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Netflix has announced there will be a season 4 of Orange is the New Black in 2016. The series, which starts airing season 3 on June 12th, has picked up more than 20 awards, including 3 Emmys, 2 GLAAD Awards, and 2 SAG wins.
Liza Minnelli has left rehab and was out dining at Real Housewife Lisa Vanderpump's West Hollywood eatery, Pump. The Oscar winner checked into a Malibu facility in March, with her rep saying she has valiantly battled substance abuse over the years, and whenever she has needed to seek treatment, she has done so.
Sir Derek Jacobi has revealed that there will be a few changes when the new season of Vicious, which co-stars fellow out actor Sir Ian McKellen, returns this summer. The first series was studio-based. However, for new episodes, the pair will be seen out and about going to the gym and dance classes.
Canadian Ethan Dowling is on the fast track to become Men's Health first trans cover model. The Oregon artist, entrepreneur, and fitness pro is currently sitting in the number one slot in Men's Health's Ultimate Guy Search, which scores the winner a much-coveted cover.
The video game Mortal Kombat has its first gay character, although he's closeted. The new character Kung Jin became a monk archer and a member of a special forces unit. However, a series of flashbacks in Mortal Kombat 10, the newest version, revealed Kung's orientation.
And Iceman comes out of the closet. In the latest issue of the comic All New X-Men, young Iceman reveals he's gay after a long conversation with Jean Grey. The new revelation comes after Marvel and DC were accused of lacking minorities in their work, though Iceman now joins the likes of Northstar, Karma, and Benjamin Deeds as a fellow gay X-Man. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Patrick Bristow, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. What do you think of that?
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 27th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Experience the Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Doubt, a riveting story of authority, suspicion, ambiguity, and religion, produced by Writers Theatre in an exciting, site-specific production in the library of the Glencoe Union Church. Under the direction of William Brown, the audience will be a fly on the church wall. Don't miss Doubt at Glencoe Union Church, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metra. To purchase tickets to Doubt, a parable, visit writerstheater.org.
And join 13 actors in the intimate Writers Theater bookstore for a powerfully authentic portrait of a young girl clinging to hope. The Diary of Anne Frank. Experience it like never before. Rediscover the classic The Tribune called truthful, deeply engaged, and extraordinary in the telling. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Diary of Anne Frank is now extended through August 2nd at the Intimate Books on Vernon and Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
Award-winning Porchlight Music Theater presents Stephen Sondheim's hilarious classic, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, at Stage 773, now through May 24th. For tickets to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, visit www.porchlightmusictheater.org. It's time for comedy tonight. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
I want to be happy, but I won't be happy until I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth giving. I'd like to give some mirth to you. When skies are gray and say you're blue, I'll send the sun smiling through. I want to be happy, but you know I won't be happy until I make you happy too. Now I want to be happy, but I won't be happy until I make you happy too. Life's really worth living when we are mirth giving. I'd like to give some mirth to you. When skies are gray and you say you're blue, I'll send the sun, I'll send it smiling through. I want to be happy, but I won't be happy.
Elaine Dame has become known as one of the leading jazz voices of Chicago. And with the recent launch of her critically acclaimed sophomore CD, You're My Thrill, she is hotter than ever. And now she's giving back by producing and hosting a benefit on May 3rd called Music for Matt, a benefit for the Matthew Shepard Foundation at Southport in Irving. And I'm just so thrilled to have, full disclosure, a friend of mine practically since I moved to Chicago, so for two decades, on the podcast, on the Queercast with me for the very first time. Hey, Elaine, how are you?
Yay! I'm doing super awesome. It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. It's been pretty amazing to watch your career over the years. I mean, I know you are a fantastic singer, but now you are just firmly in that position of kind of like the go-to jazz voice, go-to female jazz voice in the city. And I just want to know, like, where did your love of jazz begin? Because I know you've done theater, you've done folk and acoustic stuff with me, but really, you're rooted in this jazz scene and this jazz sound now. Where did that all start for you?
Well, right back at you, Amy. It's been fun watching your career grow too. And there are tons of great, female singers in the city, but it started with me when I did this book called The Artist's Way. Mm-hmm. And you know The Artist's Way.
I do.
You gave me the second book of The Artist's Way, bless your heart. So that's really how it started. I was working at this restaurant. I'd never really listened to jazz or sung jazz. I'd always been a musical theater person. I'd studied voice in college and, so I never really listened to it, but I was working at this restaurant where the manager loved it, and he played tons and tons and tons of vocal jazz, and I was like, ooh, I really like this, and I got hooked, and then I did the book, and then I just found a piano player and started rehearsing and started pounding the pavement and made a cassette demo, so that was a lot. So I still have the cassette demo that I made, so that was a long time ago, and I've just been pounding the pavement ever since. I've just been just kind of slowly building a career. And, I'm happy to say that now I'm making a living at it. So it's not easy. It's always a challenge to do that. But, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
It's pretty amazing because, I would have always said that you have incredible inner rhythm. I think to be a jazz singer, you have to have like percussive rhythm, and also you just have to hear sounds that people don't hear and be able to produce sounds that people can't produce normally. And I should say as well that you play the flute. So often when you perform, you sing, you play the flute, and then you have, all your guys behind you.
I do.
How do you pick music? I mean, what are you listening for? Are you listening? Are you listening for the story? Are you listening for the rhythm? Yeah. Are you listening for the melody? How do you pick one?
Yeah, you're definitely right about that inner rhythm. You have to have that. And that took me a while to learn. And I'm still learning, obviously, which is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. But that's something you always have to have, especially if you're going to be working with other musicians, because you have to be on the same page. Yeah. And if you're going to deviate from the rhythm, then you have to know where it is to begin with. But I pick tunes based on a lot of different things, melody, lyric, usually it's pretty basic. If I like the lyric, I'm working on a new tune called Your Blase, which has a great lyric, but I'm still trying to figure out what the hell it means.
Yeah.
Cause it's not one of those straight ahead tunes where you can go, oh, this is about this, and this person singing it has this point of view, and what is this trying to communicate? And it's one of those tunes that's kind of abstract. And, can say a lot in a lot of different ways, which is what these standards do. They can be endlessly reinterpreted, which is great. And they're so literate, they're so lyrical, and they're so, complex harmonically that, there's so much going on that you can sing them over and over again and not get bored.
So tell me about the new CD, which our listeners are hearing throughout the show. You're My Thrill. Tell me about this CD. I mean, what is this CD about for you? I mean, it sounds like for me, it's just so joyous in so many ways, which I love.
Aw, yeah, it is kind of about that. Yeah, especially the tune I Want to Be Happy, which kind of sounds, it doesn't, the tune is actually about making others happy or trying to make others happy. The main lyric is I want to be happy, but I won't be happy until I make you happy too.
Codependent anthem.
right. It's an old tune from No Nanette, written in the 1920s. But yeah, I think a lot of it is from that perspective. Mm-hmm. It's funny, my sound designer, Scott, at Studio Media, he joked and said, I think the CD can be said, I want a lot of things, because there's a lot of tunes that say, I want to be happy, I want to be loved, All I Want, that Joni Mitchell tune. But, but that kind of is it. It's like that basic human desire to connect with people and to be loved and to love. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like seeking, desire. It's a desire and yearning. It's such a beautiful, beautiful CD. And I got to go to the wonderful launch downtown. And you've been a part of so many fantastic rooms across Chicago. And now one of the really cool things is that you've been a huge part of the revival of the Rainbow Room in New York City at Rockefeller. Yes. Tell us about the new Rainbow Room for those of us who have not visited yet, and how you've been treated there, and what you think about performing there.
Oh my God! I obviously it was absolutely thrilling to perform there. And it's obviously such a legendary room. When you're there, you just can't help but think it. And it's just absolutely elegant and gorgeous. Mm. And they have the whole customer service thing down to a science, with attention to detail with every little thing. And the great thing about singing there is that they treat their musicians so well. Mm. You just feel so appreciated and so respected there. Yeah. They just really, every last person there really just kind of rolls out the red carpet for you. And it's just a treat because it ain't always like that. So.
No. Well, it's such an iconic room. I mean, have they restored it? Are they open for all meals, or what's the function of the room now with the new Rainbow Room?
Yeah. Apparently it was closed for about 5 years and they reopened it, and they only have live music on Sundays and Mondays. And I've been performing on Sundays for brunch. They're open for brunch on Sundays, and they're open for dinner on Mondays, and they have live dancing and big bands, which is fantastic.
Come on. How cool is that?
So it's like old school dinner and dancing, you know, which is great. And then they use the rest of the time for, you know, just a venue for weddings and, you know, God knows what else. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, it's pretty amazing to be up there and to look at the whole city, wrap around windows, you know, it's like these beautiful crystal chandeliers, and it's just, they did an amazing job renovating it. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, so if you're in the New York area, check out the Rainbow Room, see if Elaine may be playing the jazz brunch. And if you're living in the Chicagoland area listening to us, you obviously have regular gigs around town, and you are now going to be, or you are now, at SIP or Southport and Irving at 4000 or Southport on Thursdays. Tell us about Southport and Irving.
Yeah, that place is great too. They're very, very, very good to their musicians as well. So they have live music there on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays now. An array of really, really great talent from all around the city. I think on set, I can't remember, but they're doing some Brazilian music and some sort of bossa nova music on certain nights. And then Friday nights they have a rotating lineup of jazz singers. Mm-hmm. Arlene Bardell, Petra, I think Paul Marinaro is going to be there, Carrie Johnsrud, really great singers. And then I'm going to be there every Thursday starting in April.
Fantastic. And that's amazing to have nowhere to find you on a weekly basis, which is really, really cool. Well, one of the cool things that you're doing, which I mentioned early in my introduction, is that you are hosting and helping curate and put together this benefit called Music for Matt. It's a benefit for the Matthew Shepard Foundation that's going to be right there at your new Thursday night home, SIP, at Southport and Irving. And it's happening on Sunday, May 3rd. Tell us, how did the benefit come about and why the Matthew Shepard Foundation?
Yeah. Well, a couple years ago, a friend of mine, Stuart Smith, invited me to perform for a reception that was being held here for Judy Shepard. And it was just a small sort of cocktail reception, sort of a fundraiser. And she spoke at the reception, and I played there for the reception. And I was just really moved by her. Mm. She was just incredibly, I'm sure you probably met her and talked to her, but yeah, she's just so incredibly, what's the word, articulate and graceful and I can't think of the word, but there's something about her that's very, it's very touching to see her, and very powerful to hear her speak about her son, you know, and the fact that she's taken up this work, this advocacy work, and she's changed laws and she's changing lives, and she's working on behalf of this cause, which is basically just, you know, compassion and love and acceptance for people, obviously, you know, gay people, but I don't know. I was just really moved by her, and I had the chance to speak to her personally. And I said, I had done a couple of benefits before I spoke to her. I did this thing for the Chicago Women's Health Center, and then I did another thing called Jazz for Japan. And I said, you know, I'd love to do a benefit for the Matthew Shepard Foundation, sort of a musical thing. And she said, that would be great. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sort of following through on my promise. It's been a couple years, and, you know, it's always been in the back of my mind to to follow through, because I said I would do it, so now I'm doing it.
Yeah. So, well, and I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, but because the legacy of Matthew Shepard is so carried on through, you know, Judy and Dennis's work. And I mean, she seems to kind of, she's just this quiet, deep light, you know?
Yeah.
She is just this light that is not this bright light, you know? She's not a huge personality. Yeah. It's just this quiet, constant lighthouse, you know, for the LGBT community, I feel like. And she is totally, you know, one of the most special people. She and her husband that I have met throughout my career here, especially her husband, who actually doesn't talk a lot. but I actually shared drinks with him late into the night one night many years ago at a big benefit that was for for the HRC, and Dennis and Judy were there, and I kind of hung out with Dennis because we both felt like we didn't know anybody where we were. So we both sat and talked for a long time. But of course, for people who don't know, the Matthew Shepard Foundation was founded in memory of 21-year-old Matthew Shepard, who was murdered in Wyoming in 1998, which is just crazy that we're just 3 years away from a 20-year anniversary. And as you said, the foundation does seek to replace hate with understanding, compassion, and acceptance through all their work with young people and through legislation. And because what they do is they tell Matthew's story and they remind us not to forget where hate and a lack of understanding, intolerance, and ignorance, and a lack of protection where that leads. So so you're going to be doing this joyous evening of deep and abiding light, and proceeds are going to go to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and you're going to host, and I'm assuming you're going to sing, because if you're hosting, you got to be singing. But who else performing, and what will the evening be like? Because it's only, it's a $5 donation. So you like come, and then the restaurant is giving proceeds of, you know, food and drink. But it's nothing you have to get an expensive ticket for. This is something really we can pack the room and come and just meet one another and celebrate, and also extend that good energy out as we leave. So what's going to be happening at SIP? What's going to be happening at Southport and Irving on May 3rd?
Yeah, well, you pretty much summed it up. It's going to be just a very, very joyous celebratory night with all kinds of music. There's a bar at SIP, and then there's a huge dining room. So we're going to have two live bands in both rooms. There's going to be all kinds of jazz. It's going to be a cavalcade of jazz musicians coming and going and sitting in and playing. And there's going to be horn players and guitar players and stand-up bass players and, you know, percussionists. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you have some names you can throw out just that, you know, will be
joining? God. Yeah. Well, the tons of singers are Arlene Bardell is going to be there. Hinda Hoffman's going to be there. I don't have my list right now, but there's probably about so far 25 musicians, guitar players.
Wow.
Mike Alamana is going to be there. Terry Bartolotta, Scott Hesse, stand up bass player Stacey McMichael, John Sutton, Joel Kelsey, Mark Piani. I mean, there's a million of them. They really are. all these great jazz musicians are stepping up to the plate to help out. So I know I missed a lot of names, and I'm sorry, but.
Well, and you're adding names like every day, right? I mean, you'll probably get somebody 2 days before the event happens here these last weeks.
Yep, exactly. People usually, and the thing is that it's not, you know, it's a $5 suggested donation at the door. You know, you're more than, you know, willing to give more, but, you know, we wanted to keep it affordable so that it would be a busy event. There's going to be a great, 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 great raffle table. We've got tons of people, again, stepping up. Marcus Cheater, this incredible makeup artist. He actually did the makeup for my CD, but he also did Halle Berry and just a cavalcade of, you know, stars, and he's a writer and a television personality. He's going to do a makeup session. He's going to donate a makeup session. All kinds of people are donating some really, really good stuff. So it'll be fun to have that raffle too. So it's just going to be a busy, boisterous night of fellowship and camaraderie and, you know, celebration. It's going to be a great night.
And there's food and drink. And is this an over 21? Do you need to be 21 to come?
Well, I would think so because it's a bar. So I would think
so.
But, you know, yeah. But I think I know some of my musician friends early on are bringing their families. So, you know, I think if you're accompanied by an adult, I think it's fine.
Yeah. As long as they don't serve you. It's more like, but there is full food. So if there's full food, it's usually a restaurant. So even though there's a bar,
And the food there is incredible, and that they have a really, really, really fun drink program. And the beverage director, Ardit, is creating a new, you know, cocktail menu just for the occasion. And and they're going to donate 10%. So I thought
that
was
fantastic.
Super generous.
Their proceeds. That's amazing. Yeah, and it's going to be on Sunday, May 3rd from 6 to 10. Elaine Dame hosting, so you can meet her. And she is a fun, fun gal. Let me tell you, you've been such an advocate, ally, part of the LGBT community for all of your career. But I know you really feel the impact of, you know, your gay and lesbian and trans fans. I mean, you have so many, and I saw them all coming out and supporting you at your CD release. And I know you sing it now weddings. We can actually say same sex weddings now, and not just civil ceremonies in Chicago. And how can people get in touch with you, Elaine? Because you do private parties and you do sing for you know, weddings and receptions and things like that as well. How is it best for people to find you and find your music?
Oh, probably the best way is just to go to my website, and it's just ElaineDame.com. And my phone number's right on the homepage, slashed right there in big letters or big numbers.
We don't even have to write it on the bathroom wall. We just have it right down on the website. Isn't that great about us nowadays? It's like, remember when you thought it was scandalous when you went to the movies when you were a kid and there was somebody's number written on the bathroom stall? Now we all have websites. It's like, you know, public bathroom stalls everywhere. Like, call me.
Oh, for the day. Aw.
We also are going to have the link for Southport and Irving .com/events-2. But since that's hard to say, we're going to have that linked in our show notes at WindyCityQueerCast.com. So you can go there. You can find out all about the club. You can see the venue. You can, you don't need to get tickets in advance. You might want to make reservations. If you want a table and dine. The phone number for SIP or Southport and Irving is 773-857-2890. 773-857-2890. And once again, ElaineDame.com, because let me tell you, there is no more fun, wonderful, create a great environment person to have at an event that you're doing than Elaine Dame. So if you need a wedding singer, she is that and much, much more. She'll feel like she's a part of the family.
Thank you, Amy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a little biased, but you know.
You are.
Hey, it's my show. I get to be biased, right?
Yes.
Well, great. Well, I hope everybody, you know, we'll check out the good things that are going on at Southport and Irving and with Elaine Dame. Once again, don't forget, you know, check out the Rainbow Room in New York Center at Rockefeller. If you happen to be in New York, I mean, it is a great thing to stop, go to the top of the rock, hit the Rainbow Room. That building is just so iconic and just such a part of the New York scene. And if you can't make the event, and you'd like to do something because, you know, Elaine and all these amazing Chicago musicians and people, allies are showing up and donating their time, their services, prizes, their talents. You know, and you can't be there that night. There's no reason you can't go to the Matthew Shepard website for the Matthew Shepard Foundation and make a donation because they need us, you know, every day of the year to do their good work. And they are, you know, as we're talking and combating states that won't let couples marry after, you know, they've passed marriage and as we have more and more legislation, in our, you know, our sister state of Indiana, just to the south of us, you know, the work of organizations like the Matthew Shepard Foundation are critical. And so MatthewShepard.org is that website and we'll have it linked. So if you don't live in the Chicago area and you're a friend of ours and you listen somewhere else, listen to all this energy that's happening, on May 3rd and maybe make your $5 or $50 or whatever $500 donation at MatthewShepard.org and just support the efforts and the giving back to that organization as well. Elaine Dame, thank you so much, and thank you for letting us play your luscious music, your desireful music all throughout the show today. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time today and for focusing on this. I'm so appreciative. You're such a sweetheart.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope to see you at Music for Matt at Southport and Irving. I do hope you get a chance to see that Bruce Jenner interview. I'm very interested to see what people are going to think about it, and I'm very interested to see what will be on the interwebs, Facebook postings and Twitter, and what the response will be. Also, this week, it's a big, big week. The Supreme Court hearing marriage equality, two questions that are going to be considered by the Supreme Court. And we will be talking about that with Jim Bennett from Lambda Legal on the next show. So have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.